So I've flown many simulators, and occasionally you get one where the vision system is not aligned or there's a lag with the actual motion of these big sims. And it induces nausea over a course of pretty quick. Right. Do you have a concern or a way to deal with that the amount of time from your motion sensor to actually what they're feeling is not going to match?
Right, that's referred to as the latency.
Yes.
And the higher quality units have much less latency. The lower quality units could have more latency. And so that is an issue. For some people, it will affect them. And one of the things that also gave me the information in working on this is that I did do a 757 sim at a United facility, and we were messing around, so we rolled the plane, an aileron roll. And yeah, the screen turns over, but
you
don't feel anything.
Your 10 minutes is
Thank
up.
You. All right.
Thank you so much. And now we would like to bring Ed Wischmeyer to the stage. Reducing loss of control accidents to keep our friends alive.
Thank you.
So again, what I'd like to encourage you as you're watching these presentations and thinking about, is that something that I could do? Is that something that I could implement? Does that make sense to me? Does it meet the judging criteria? Because at the end of the evening of the presentation, we'll ask for you to make your vote for your top pick. Just one.
The objective is to keep our friends alive.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And a big part of that.
And if you do this, we'll also be making sure that you go home with Founders Innovation Prize pin. So the first 80 who come up front showing us that you actually did vote, we'd like you to take a Founders Innovation Prize pin, not just for thanking you for voting and participating in this evening, but also as a reminder of how important our awareness is, our training is to preventing these loss of control accidents. Are you ready?
I'm ready if the sound is turned off from the laptop.
Let's just go ahead and give it a try.
All right, thank
ready?
You.
Ready? And go.
Fellow aviators, judges, ladies and gentlemen, our objective is to keep our friends alive. Now, if we want to make significant change in the loss of control accident rate, we need to significantly change how we think about loss of control. And the first thing we can do is we can observe that almost all flights avoid loss of control. And the question is, why? And to do this, we need a better analytical definition of loss of control. There are a number of good ones out there that talk about the symptoms, but we want to talk about the process of loss of control. When a pilot controls the flight controls and the power, that is controlling the airplane. When he stops doing that, that is loss of control. So let's look and see how this happens. What doesn't work in loss of control? Well, the pilot flies the airplane by the outside view, the instruments, the seat of the pants, those are still there in a loss of control scenario. The flight controls still work, and the power still works. Where's the problem? What's left? So the question then is, why didn't the pilot manipulate the controls adequately? He may still be working the flight controls or working the power, but he didn't work those adequately and correctly. So I call this cognitive unavailability, meaning the pilot did not process the cues that are out there. Here's a common example of cognitive unavailability. Texting while driving. You're spending your cognitive energies on the smartphone, and you're ignoring the cognitive inputs from outside. Now in flying, we've got a number of them, target fixation, tunnel vision, and the psychologists have given us dozens of examples of what can cause cognitive availability. Now, it's interesting that cognitive unavailability and loss of control does not happen in the flight, in the middle of the flight envelope. It doesn't happen when the pilot is comfortable. It happens when the pilot gets outside their comfortable flight envelope. So, what are we going to do about that? Well, the solution is to expand the pilot's flight envelope, his comfort zone, from the very middle that is taught now on all the licenses and in the WINGS program. We want to expand that envelope, not as far as stalls and spins, not as far as aerobatics, but there is this great new area where there is a lot to be learned and none of it is taught. And the other thing we want to do is we want to let the pilots do it in their own familiar everyday airplane. There's no point in going off and learning aerobatics in the pits and then coming back and trying to fly your own airplane, which handles differently. And the expanded envelope exercises have a number of elements. It's interesting to look at the logo. It's the traditional red circle with a slash that says no LOC, but the slash is actually an airplane. This is an airplane in a 45-degree bank doing the expanded envelope exercises. And we have gotten ahead of ourselves here. So the expanded envelope exercises have a number of characteristics which are representative of precursors to loss of control. High workload, high stress, high sensory input, precision, full control deflection, all those kinds of things that maneuver in an exercise. An exercise is exposure to a situation. Look what happens, look what you can do, look what it feels like. A maneuver, on the other hand, is a pre-planned flight regime with completion standards and what you expect to see. So we're not trying to teach people maneuvers. We're trying to say, let's go into this flight regime and see what it looks like so that if you end up there by mistake, it's not your first rodeo. And we can similarly differentiate between situational awareness and cognitive availability. Situational awareness is one of those concepts that has evolved and devolved and has a million meanings. I like to think of situational awareness as what you're planning to do. Based on all the inputs outside the airplane and inside the airplane, what do you want the airplane to do? What are you planning for it to do? On the other hand, cognitive availability is what is the airplane doing right now? Am I making the airplane do what I want to do right now? One is strategic, one is tactical. I have no idea why I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, here we go. Now there's a difference between the expanded envelope exercises and upset recovery. The expanded envelope exercises are designed to improve the pilot's cognitive availability and decrease susceptibility to cognitive unavailability. Upset recovery is recovery from an upset after something bad has happened. It requires cognitive availability. That's one of the main things they teach. And it, oh, come on. It may require altitude to do an upset recovery, and not all loss of control accidents are upsets. And I gave two forums yesterday talking about spins and spirals and vertical bank syndrome, and those are not necessarily upsets. So upset recovery is not going to cover the full spectrum of loss of control. Well, E3 has been tried and it works. I've tried it on a half dozen pilots, transition training, flight reviews, and then I took it out to Utah Valley University and they've adopted it, which is why I'm wearing their shirt. They have flown with a dozen CFIs and they found results even after one flight hour. They've now got plans for this fall and they've got 20 or 30 subject pilots lined up to further explore E3 and see how effective it is, what the advantages are, and how it can be fine-tuned. This thing just loves to go ahead. I have no idea what's going on. There is a lot of research that has gone into E3, and you can see that here. I'm not going to go into those. Each one of those could easily be an hour lecture. But what's interesting is that there's plenty of room for growth in E3.
Ed, thank you very much.
Okay.
I know that the judges have questions, and you have 10 minutes. Go.
You had a long list of exercises there, but can you give an example of one that you noticed in this 1 hour first flight that a student took that was impactful and why?
Well, you mean in terms of
what was the exercise that you put that student through, and what did it? What was the feedback that was learned?
The most popular exercise by far is what's called the 60-90s. You slow the plane to approach speed using full aileron deflection, bank to 60 degrees, turn 90 degrees to the point, full aileron deflection back the other way, 90 degrees, so it's a left, right, left, right. So this has all of the elements. It's a surprising flight envelope. People are surprised that they can do it. It's full control deflection that nobody ever does, especially at low speeds. You get high sensory input, and then when you're done, it's like, wow, I didn't know the plane could do that. So you've expanded the pilot's envelope from the very middle. You've expanded it a lot. It's by far the most popular of the expanded envelope exercises.